Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Greg Romero Wilson. The Ween Dog is here, Joseph Aaron Perez.
What's up, dude?
I'm in Vegas. I'm recording my special tomorrow. This has been like the weirdest way to prepare for a special during COVID. Because normally I do like 8 shows a week beforehand and like, but.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, not to mention, it's like I have like 25 minutes of MMA stuff. That I can't, I've been practicing on Zoom, which, hey man, you gotta do what you gotta roll with the punches.
Somebody listen, man, if it works on Zoom, it is bulletproof.
That's actually kind of true. But dude, I did one Zoom show a couple weeks ago. Literally, there was a guy dressed in camouflage with a microphone, but like one of those like mics, and he had an AK-47 with him the entire time. I don't know if he was Antifa or some kind of white nationalist. I didn't even want to ask because it was already making everyone uncomfortable. There was like 9 people there and one guy. And I was going to kick him out of the show, but he was like our best audience member. So like, and like I needed audience members. But yeah, right now I'm just, and then I did a show last Saturday to prepare for this. I did a show at a drive-in. I'm outside and there's all these cars there. And if they like your jokes, they honk at you.
Yeah.
And then if they really like it, they bright you. This is how this is how I'm preparing for this. But I'm excited. I'm just tired, man. Like I'm tired. I'm like, you know, I have to remember to like have fun, not beat myself up. Because you know, I'm the person, if I don't get enough sleep, then the whole day is like, I didn't get enough sleep. Now I'm going to be tired. I'm going to bomb. Everyone's going to tell me I suck. It's just, I get into this like fucking snowball and I'm back in therapy the last couple of weeks. I'm doing my therapy via Zoom and my therapist is hot, of course. And then my wife gets upset because she's like, why can't you just tell me these problems? And I'm like, you don't understand. You're not a therapist. She's like, well, just tell me. And she's like, well, what'd you tell the therapist? I'm like, so now I'm in the other room whispering my problems. To my wife's never I'm working because I'm talking about my wife and how
totally like, exactly yeah it's like you can't talk to her about her, you need to go talk to someone else about her.
I feel like I'm like should be giving this therapist tokens, like it's a cam girl. I'm telling her my issues, so that's good though. I have a good therapist, which is good. And I'm in Vegas.
Can I tell you, I used to have a hot girl therapist too, and it was the worst because sometimes I'd be like, God, she's fucking hot. And then she'd be like, just tell me what you're thinking. And all I wanted to say was, I'm thinking I want to eat your pussy right now. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, if you want me to be honest with you, we're supposed to be honest here. All I can think about is eating your pussy. That I had to stop seeing her because she was too hot.
I just feel stupid talking about like, that's hilarious, by the way. That is, I wonder what she would, I mean, she would have to be, you know, what if she said, okay? I mean, what would, I doubt, you know.
That'd be some therapy I'd feel good about paying for. In fact, that would be the session I'd be like, you know, if you want to charge me your standard rate instead of the discount artist rate today, I think you're, you know, like I would have gone full boat. I would have been like, charge the insurance for 2 sessions. You earned it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I haven't gotten to the point where I tell my therapist I'm not wearing pants yet. But once, no, I'm kidding. But I have been talking about like, watching porn, because like when I go on the road, I watch porn, and I feel like I shouldn't be watching porn. I should save it for my wife, and because also the porn that I watch is like that strip club porn where it's the male strippers and the girls all take turns like blowing them, and because I've like done that in my life. Anyway, this is an MMA podcast. What are we talking about?
Yeah,
It's a half MMA podcast. I would say it's a mostly MMA podcast. depending on the episode.
My kid was really cute the other day. Like I was she did something on the computer. She saw something by herself and she goes, "Daddy, tell me you're proud of me." And then I was like, because I always say, "Well, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you." So I told her I was proud of her. But like, you know, I'm always changing her diaper, and when she, I never want to poop shame her, you know. So I tell her, "Oh, it's okay. Everybody poops. Daddy poops. Mommy poops." And then we get to like, depending on how big the poop is, how many people we get to, you know. So I'm like, "Mommy's friend Stephanie poops." So then her, mommy's friend Stephanie came over. The first thing she goes, "Stephanie poops," and she had like a date. She had like a date with her. It was like sort of, you know, that's the.
You know, well, she's not wrong.
No, Stephanie. And then we have this thing called the potty princess, where we're trying to potty train the kid. So she puts on a princess hat, and I read a book to her called "I'm the Potty Princess." And then she wears a crown while she goes on the potty, her little potty. I'm like, we're not setting this kid up for failure at all, huh? this is just fucking crazy. Anyway, you opened for Too Short over the weekend.
Yeah, I was, I did my first drive-in comedy show. It was for Big Boy, you know, the legendary radio DJ. And he, it was his Funny Mofo show. And then they had Big Boy come out. It was turned into an evening of comedy and music. And so it was my first drive-in show, and it was put together, because it was put together by the improvs. The improvs put it together. And they had the big inflatable, you know, screen with us on it. And then we were on a little tiny stage off to the side, not like directly beneath that screen. We were off to the side. So that was kind of weird to begin with. And so we were joking with them about, "Hey, what do we put this day?" And they're like, "We think we know how to put on a show." That was their big, "We got it. We're not going to tell you how to be funny. Will you don't tell us how to put on a show." Like, and then, first of all, it takes a certain skill set to do a drive-in show where there's no laughter really coming back at you. And if you think about it, Zoom is a great warm-up to this, but apparently none of these guys have done that. Because none of them handled it very well. I mean, they all tried valiantly, but I mean, they really were completely thrown. And then I got up there and I crushed. Right. Because I could see exactly, I was like, this just needs energy and full attack mode and not worrying about anything else and just go out there and having a ball.
And knowing when to pause.
Right. And just exactly, just running it as if it's all going great. And I did that and the audience loved it and people were hitting me up a lot. And you were the best by far and everything. But okay, so here they are with this production and I'm kind of making fun of the lighting and stuff like that because it was all very harsh and right at you. And so then Eric Blake goes up there to close out the comedy part. And 2 minutes into his set, the power goes out.
Oh.
And not just a little bit. Like, well, first, the radio. That was the other thing. They didn't have any speakers up for sound to go out to the crowd automatically. They all had to tune into the radio. And the first thing that lost power was the radio. So the radio signal goes out. Okay. Nobody can hear them. Everyone just starts honking their horns to let us know that they don't have the radio signal anymore. So then they're like, "Wait a minute, we're trying to figure it out right now." Then all the power goes out, all the lights, all the video. So then you see all these, you know, the carts from the people that run the play, they're all rushing over there to try and fix it. They finally get it back up and running. Eric starts again. Boom, it goes out again. So then he can, right? So, and it's not like he can even riff. No one can hear him. Yeah. No one can do anything. Yeah. He's just like, he's just a man screaming in a field at this point, you know, like nobody can fucking hear him. Then the power comes on again for the stage, but not for the video. So the giant screen. So they had to go and find a separate generator and bring it out and start it up and start running the video again off a separate generator. So then the power finally starts going again. Then it goes out again, completely out. Now people just start driving out. Now they're leaving the fucking show. They're fucking go, but a bunch of people stay because they know Too Short's coming. And then magically and this fucked poor Eric, what a trooper, he was fighting so hard, but when it finally came back on, it had cut out like four times at this point during his set. And like he was like, "I'm just gonna wrap up with this joke," and it's like he couldn't even he was so lost in the joke at a certain point, he just stopped telling it and was like, you know what? Let's bring out Too Short. And they bring out the fucking, and Too Short goes up there, does his like three or four hits. It was and just like the main parts of it. And then, but luckily the power did not go out on Too Short. So he had a good little set and then that was it. But I mean, it was.
Well, Eric's been shot. He was in gangs. You know, yeah. He's had a crazy life. It's like, he's probably just like, you know, when you've been shot and you were a gang member and you have like 12 kids, it's like, fuck it.
Yeah. He was a trooper, man. He was fighting through, but it was just tough because they didn't bother to set up any real sound. The only on stage speakers were the monitors. Those were the only speakers.
Did I ever tell you the time I opened for Too Short?
No.
I was driving in there used to be a club. It was in Monterey and I'm driving there that night, Club Gemini. And on the radio, it says, tonight, Club Gemini, Too Short. And I'm like, I'm fucking at Club Gemini tonight. Like, it's weird, right? And that's so right. Then I call the club and I go, hey, I'm 6 hours into the drive now. I'm like, hey, is Too Short there tonight? Like, yeah. I'm like, what about the comedy show? Oh, that's before Too Short. I'm like, okay. So I get there and the whole place is packed with like people from the Bay, like Too Short fans. Like, no one's there for comedy.
Right.
And it's me, right. Like D Militant. And then Too Short, right? So I go up there and no one wants to hear stand-up comedy. So I do a couple jokes and like people are like, fuck, who's this white boy, motherfucker? You know, like, so I just kind of start cursing after the joke. Like, and I'm like, motherfucker. Like, I was kind of newer to comedy, not newer, but like, and then I survived. I did fine, but it was not the kind of crowd. D Militant goes on and like goes off on white people for 20 minutes, but in a really funny way. He fucking does good. Too Short
right.
is an hour late because he's getting a blowjob in the limo, right? That's what, allegedly.
Right. Right.
So then he comes out.
I believe
now it's supposed to end at 1 o'clock. It's like 12:30, right? He comes out, does like two songs, and then but they have to end at one. And then he goes, you know what? Fuck this place. You know what? This song's about making money. He goes, you know what? I'm not doing any more songs until you guys give me $5,000. Tries to hold up the crowd. So now people start like passing around like a bucket to like,
no,
and there's
no.
Like, and there's like $9 and no one's putting any, everyone's like, what the fuck? I paid, you know? Then he goes, all right, I want two sperm swallowers to blow me right now. These two fucking like fat white girls get up there. They're like, we'll blow you. He goes, I said sperm swallowers, not sperm whales, right? And everyone's like, oh, people are running around like throwing shit. He does one more. He does like half a song, and then the lights go on. The show, they have to get out, right? Now people, yeah. It's like three songs. He held up the crowd and almost got a fucking blowjob on stage. A fucking riot breaks out, right? People are angry and they start fighting, like four fights. Like just bottles get thrown. Fucking mobs are fighting. I'm hiding behind the bar with like the owner's wife. Like fucking ducking bottles that are getting thrown. But I'm entertained. This is like. I'm eating popcorn.
This is wild. Yeah. They're not coming after you. So what do you care?
So all the cops come, like madness, right? I come back the next day. The owner says to me, let me talk to you, Adam. I go, what? He goes, you were too dirty last night. I go, I was too dirty. Like, what about the fucking race war that fucking broke out? And the that's my Too Short story.
Oh my god, yeah, he was listen, and he that's the thing, like he just did like basically the choruses to the four hits, you know, and then that was it. You know, it was maybe like 10 minutes long, and then he walked. And here's the other thing, like, okay, so the stage, most everybody is on stage right. I'm on stage left because I didn't want to be around everybody, you know. So I'm on the other side by myself, and of course, him and the two hot girls he's with, they come up and stand around me. Now they don't talk to me. They don't address me. They just stand around me. And then he goes on stage. Then he comes back and he's like walking right at me. And I felt like I had to say something to him. So I'm like, hey, that was great, man. And he goes, get to the heart of it. Get on with it. And I was like, all right. Good note. Solid note. That explains. Yes. Okay. I get it now. Thank you. That makes sense.
We just do our punchlines. Like no setups. Just do punchlines.
No setups. Just the punchlines. And get off stage and be like, get to the heart of it. And get on with it.
So, Ween Dog, how was your weekend?
What did
you do?
Well, you know, the great thing about living in an apartment that was built in the 1700s is that not only does the interior look old as shit, but the plumbing in your apartment is old as shit, too. So, over the past few days, I had my entire bathroom got flooded out with water because I don't know. The pipes are just so old. I woke up in the morning. I went to the bathroom and I took one step into the bathroom and my foot went into like 3 inches of ice cold water on the floor.
Oh,
and
shit.
A large portion of my carpet is like destroyed. And now the sink in my kitchen is now fucked up. So I've just been learning how to do basic plumbing shit on YouTube to try to survive. You know, it sucks, but I'm hanging in there.
That sounds like a – another thing, speaking of that shit. So Dominic Cruz, I got Dominic, Phil Davis, and Angela to be in a sketch this year, and a pseudo sketch for the awards. And Dominic Cruz is so funny because having to convince him to be in a sketch is like exactly how you would – I'm like, Dominic, man, hey, will you do this sketch? And it's like similar to like Cormier All About the Cake and Chicken, like that making him look really kind of silly. And he's just – there's just like awkward pauses – and he's like, you know, Adam, you know, luckily I'm in a place now where I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to get out of my comfort zone. And he's like, there's like 25 reasons why I don't want, I'm totally against this idea, but okay.
Well, at least he voiced his concerns in advance. It's almost like he's pre-registering his complaints. So at any point during it, he'd be like, see, this is what I was talking about. I'm out of here.
He is a funny person. Like, first of all, you know, when I write these songs for people, you know, I have to research them. And because I have to write funny lyrics about them, you know, but I also have to know who I'm writing about. So I didn't realize that Henry Cejudo, you know, everyone talks about Cejudo as like the king of cringe and cringy. This dude lived with, first of all, his father was like a complete drug addict, out of his life, like left him and his brothers when he was a kid. He grew up in like dirt poor, like trailer park, like, you know, Arizona, like the ghetto of Arizona, basically. He didn't even have his own bed. He slept with his siblings. When he made the USA wrestling team, they bought him his own mattress. And that was the first time he ever slept in his own bed. So... like, I'm like, well, I give, like, that never gets told that story. Now, maybe it does, but it's just, you always get king of cringe. But this dude, like, a lot of props to the Cejudo because he came out, and Dominic Cruz grew up in a trailer park too, like trailer park, which, you know, not that I would assume that, you know, Cruz grew up with like a spoiled guy, but he doesn't carry himself as like, when I think of a kid that grew up in a trailer park, I don't think Dominic Cruz.
You think of, you know, Mike Perry.
So, yeah, maybe. Shout out to both of those guys for really overcoming some serious obstacles in their lives and achieving.
And I was going to say, this is what they mean by, you know, being hungry.
Yeah.
You know, these are the guys that are willing to sacrifice everything because when you got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You know, people that are comfortable, it's harder for them to put in the kind of sacrifice that these guys are willing to put in. You know, and that is often the formula for a champion is absolutely coming from a place where it's like, listen, I got nothing else. So I'm putting all my eggs in this basket. I'm going to have nothing else to do but work hard. And you know,
sometimes you get the opposite. Like I heard BJ Penn came for money. I heard that Kenny Florian, his parents had a lot of money. But I think more often than not, it's kids that like, you know, really had something to kind of, you know, I need to get this wrestling scholarship in order to pay for college.
Yeah. I mean, we see the same thing in stand-up. I mean, there are a lot of guys that come from absolutely nothing. And then there's some guys that come from that are sons of influence, you know, that have a ton of money. And those guys tend to do really well because, you know, they don't go into every audition fucking starving, you know, going, I really need this. They go in comfortable and they do great because, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah. But you also see, like, the reason I dropped out of college, part of it was like, I didn't want to have a backup plan. I wanted to go all or nothing. I don't want to have a net. And I think a lot of people try to like hedge their bets where they go, okay, I'll go to college. I'll get a job.
Yeah.
I'll do this, and then I'll just stand up on the side. And I feel like that almost never works. You know, it's just like,
well, I think that's how you wind up with what we have. You know, we have so many lawyers that wind up in stand up and stuff like that. I think a lot of it comes from that of like, okay, I'm going to do this. And they're like, oh, but I really want to do this, you know? So
yeah, but for every Greg Giraldo, there's like 20 of the unfunniest lawyers you've ever seen in your entire life. You know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know, there's been quite a few in stand up. Dimitri Martin, what's his name? That Italian guy who went out, he became a judge for a minute out of New York.
No, Greg Giraldo, right?
No. Also Greg Giraldo, but I mean his name's escaping me right now. So bad at names. But he became a judge, and then they were like, listen, you can't be doing stand-up and be a judge. They're like, you got to quit doing stand-up. He goes, or I could quit being a judge. So he quit being a judge to keep doing, and just went back into private law so he could keep doing stand-up.
When I was in New York City, I was doing comedy in laundromats. Jody and Jody Wasserman and Danny Cohen, two of my favorite people ever, they used to run shows where there were no shows. Like the worst possible, like they did a supermarket where you do comedy at the checkout line. People are buying food and then they go up. And if you like held up the line, it meant you were doing okay, right? And then I did a supermarket and then I did a laundromat. And it was like—
Yeah, I remember the laundromat shows, yeah.
It was a homeless crowd. Like they would literally come in. And I remember it was me and Dimitri Martin and Brody Stevens used to do it. And Brody was the funniest because that was the fucking perfect place for him to do comedy. But I remember when Dimitri Martin, there was a guy, Andrew Donnelly, who was a very funny guy. He's in like every commercial now. But he remember him taking on stage, he goes over to the dryer and he goes, let me put this on, no career.
I remember there was one, I remember doing one of those in the basement of this place, and the basement like had been leaking, and so there's water on the ground, and the water had knocked out the power to the light system, so there was no lights. So everyone was taking, they had plugged in an extension cord with a light bulb, and and so it was some kind of light and like a coffee can. And so what you had to do was whoever was on deck had to hold the light for whoever was performing. And then they would finish it. Then you got to hand the light to the next person who had to hold it for you while you performed in this fucking wet basement, man.
Oh, I was in college one time and the show was brought to you by the Cancer Society. And before the show, they had a 5-minute video of all these kids who died of cancer. And then they showed like everybody's like, I'm pretty sure they showed like died age 5, like exactly when they died.
Oh my God.
And they go, time for the comedy show. And I remember going on there and seeing all these crying eyes. And I'm like, this is my opening act. Like, this is like what, this is what you guys, we couldn't put this after.
One of my first ever corporate dates, I was doing a 2-man act called Greg and Greg. And they had hired this small town. A friend of mine's mom was like the city secretary or whatever. So she got them to hire us for their annual Christmas dinner. So we go down there to do this Christmas dinner. And apparently because they had entertainment this year, like everybody decided to come, whereas normally nobody really comes. And so they ended up with like 3 times as many people at this thing in this venue that wasn't really built for that. You know, they were in 3 separate rooms. They ended up spreading out over 3 separate rooms. So the woman comes up to us and she goes, listen, some of the people have already finished their food. Some people are eating right now. Some people still haven't eaten. Everybody's mad. Let's just start the show. And we were like, okay. So we start the show. Nobody jives with it. Nobody likes the show. They're like, what the fuck is this shit? And I'll never forget, this little old lady just gets up from the front table, pushes her chair in, and looks at the rest of the group and goes, I just can't listen to any more of this.
Oh.
And walked out.
God.
And that was my first corporate gig as a stand-up.
Speaking of a guy who's been around, Johnny Case is with us. Johnny Case, a UFC vet, Bellator vet, PFL vet, Ryzen vet. Are you back in the PFL? Is that why we're back in PFL?
I am. Yep. I've re-signed back with the PFL. And unfortunately, this season got canceled because of fucking COVID. But yeah, looking ready to start off 2021 and chase that title.
Good. I'm happy that they're back because I'm working for them.
Nice.
But also, they signed Berdum, which is good. And then Bubba Jenkins in the PFL too, by the way. Bubba Jenkins.
Oh, nice. Our boy Bubba is back. Great.
Yeah, I guess PFL stands for pretty fucking large because he's huge right now.
Is Bubba coming into lightweight or is he going welterweight?
I don't know what he's coming into, but I'm happy because PFL is great. It's a tournament where you can win $1 million. I mean, talk about changing your life. I mean, Lance Palmer has won $2 million in 2 years and he's complaining. Fucking guy. I don't know what he's
doing, but ungrateful,
right? I mean, $2 million. But I think Johnny, man, the fights that you lost in the PFL, I had you winning. And so many of your fights, like, I think you have a great record. It's like 20-7 or some insane record, right? But
27-7-1.
27-7-1. You could easily be like 32-2 or something, because some went your way. There were so many split decisions of guys that you beat that like went the other way, but it was in the hometown, or you got robbed and yada yada. So and then when you went to Japan, they poisoned you. I don't know if that happened, but I'm like making that up. But
there really is only two guys that have. Hello, they're cut out. Really is only two guys in my career that have ever truly beat me. Every other loss that I've had, I've fucked up. I made a mistake, and when you're fighting the best guys in the world, you make one mistake, and they're gonna capitalize. So, two guys have only really kicked my ass, and that's Tofik and then Tony Martin.
Well, that's a really good stat to have. Now, you went to Korea to train the Korean Zombie for his fight. What was that like?
And that was an experience for sure. So we started off the trip, and they're like, hey, you guys are going to have to do like a 2-week quarantine when you're over here, but no big deal. You'll be able to go to the Airbnb. You'll all be together. You'll be here to train and whatnot. So we get there, and it's nothing like what they say. As soon as we land, there's guys in fucking hazmat suits come on the plane, escort us out, put us on these buses, and take us to these hotels that are guarded by the military. And they take us, they separate us, they put us in rooms all by ourselves. Like, it's like a 10-by-20 fucking prison cell base, basically. And they tell us if at any time we open that door and come and step outside that door, we're going to go to, they're going to arrest us for terrorism.
Oh, shit.
Get COVID. And we give COVID to like another a South Korean, you know, like person, then that's terrorism. And then we're going to go to jail for 2 weeks, restart our quarantine, and then they're going to ship us back to the US. So it was like a forceful fucking 2 week.
See, all these people that are saying, well, why can't we be like South Korea? They're fucking beating the curve. And why, like, they're like, I don't want to wear a mask. Like, this is why they're beating the curve, because militants are fucking staying outside your fucking, everyone that's complaining about their loss of freedoms, and I get it, but don't compare yourself to other countries, because this is what's happening. This is how they're, imagine that happened in the US right now. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I quickly learned like the human rights aren't necessarily the same over there. It's like the fourth day I was working out pretty good, and I ran out of fucking water. So they give you like, they ration you water. So I called down to the front desk. I was like, hey, I ran out of water. Could you send me somewhere up? And they're like, no, we gave you your water for the day. And I'm like, I drank that. Can I have some more? They fucking hung up the phone and disconnected it, so I couldn't call down to the front desk anymore.
Oh, shit. They're like,
nah, bitch, we gave you water. That's it.
So how were you able to train with the Korean Zombie for his fight?
So after the 2 week quarantine, we got out, and then Zombie and his wife were fucking just awesome people. Like, they took care of us so good. They took us out and fucking took us to dinner. As soon as we got out, took us out getting drunk. We got drunk as shit, fucking had a good time. And then that next Monday morning, we started training, we started sparring. And so it was like, it was a really, like, the first 2 weeks was kind of touch and go, because they had like restrictions on like who all could go to the gym. Like, they couldn't have full team practices. So it was like Zombie and then me and two other guys. And then we just kind of like started easing into it. And then fucking fourth weekend, we're banging, we're fucking fist fighting. And yeah, he kind of kicked my ass pretty good on the fourth week, man. It was kind of because he expected me to give him a special look like Ortega does, right? And he wanted me to come forward. And he kept fucking hitting me, trying to knock me out. And I'm like, yo, dude, I can't keep fucking giving you this look and coming forward. Like, if you're going to try to knock me out, you know, I'm like, if we're going to fight, then we got to fucking fight. Like, I can't just be your punching bag, you know? And after that,
Ortega, but he wanted to go 100%. And you're like, but that's not
He wanted to go 100%. And then I had to keep him safe too. You know what I mean? It was like, I had to give him the look, but also not hurt him. And I'm like, dude, either we're fucking fight. If you want to fight and go hard, then we got to fight and go hard, because I can't fucking give you a look and keep you safe while you're trying to knock me out, dude. But like, once we got, after he fucked me up the fourth week, like, I was kind of like explained it to the coach, and then it got better. Like, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to fight more like me. And then, you know, the intensity was still up, but we were able to do it.
The first 2 weeks of quarantine, you're in a room for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't, did you call your family? Did you call your girlfriend? Did you call you and be like, get me the fuck out of here?
Yeah. I mean, it was literally the third day I was in there. I fucking broke. Like I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Right. I was expecting something completely different than what the fuck the situation was. And I was like, what do they call it? Like institutionalized kind of moment where I was like, man, fuck this. Like, I'm basically locked in solitary confinement. I did nothing wrong. Like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm going to buy my own plane ticket and I'm going to go back home. And like, I called my coach. He's like, dude, you realize you step out of that door, they're taking you to jail and then you're going to restart your 2 weeks. Oh. And then I was like, fuck. So luckily I was able to just chill the fuck out. Like take a shower, took a long shower, like realize. And then I'm like, all right, like fucking. And then I started to see the silver lining. I'm like, you know, when as an adult, are you ever going to get 2 weeks to yourself to just fucking hang out and do whatever the fuck you want? Like, of course you're in a fucking jail cell, but it's like, you don't have to get up at any time. You don't have to go to work at any time. You don't got to do shit, but just exist for 2 weeks. So once I realized that, I kind of saw the silver lining. I started having fun.
Was there internet? Was there porn?
Dude, yeah, there was internet, but there's no fucking porn over there. So they blocked porn on the internet, dude. So
you gotta have a VPN. You gotta get the virtual private network. So you can, that's what they sell in China. When you get off the plane, they're like, you're gonna want the VPN.
Yeah, you're gonna want to take off at some point.
Exactly. Like, and I didn't realize that's what they were saying to me, you know. But they kept going, no, you're gonna want the VPN. I'm like, what do I do the VPN? And then I realized, because otherwise you can't watch porn.
Now, Greg, what would you have done if you were him? If you got to train with a Korean zombie, they put you in the hotel for 2 weeks, and you can't leave.
I would have lost my mind because I would have been going through withdrawals. You know, I would have been like, okay, well, can you set up some weed or I'm gonna need a crate of Jack Daniels and a bushel of marijuana and as many pornographic magazines as I can get my hands on. And then I would come out the next week after 2 weeks with one arm like a Popeye arm from jerking off, just like Rafael Nadal has that one crazy strong arm. That would be my fucking jerk arm.
Now your girlfriend's a fighter, a beautiful girlfriend. Did she call you and tell you to hang in there? Or?
Yeah, for sure. So it was actually her fight week too. Like the first week I was in quarantine, like she was getting ready to fight. She fought her Poliana Viana. So she was kind of like this, like doing her own thing there. So I didn't really bug with her, but yeah, she like messaged me and stuff. And like, luckily I had a good fucking like library saved on my phone of good stuff. So nice. I didn't really need the porn. I just had my own porno shoots. And then
good for you.
I was able to smuggle in a couple of us like THC cartridges too. So I was smoking.
You're vaping your brains out, huh? Good for you.
Oh, I was getting stoned as a motherfucker.
That's the way to pass the time for sure. It's just to get fucking balls out stoned. And they're just like, look at that sunset, man.
And so zombie finally, like the second week I was there, he sent me a PlayStation 4. And like, I never play games, but I fucking got super baked and just played video games all day. And
there you go. Welcome to living like a comedian, my man.
Is Don Fry with us? Is that you? All right, somebody's with us. All right, so let's talk about the fights over the weekend. RDA versus Paul Felder. Here's where I kind of got nervous about this fight, right? When Paul Felder said, I have nothing to lose. I like him, a guy that's something to lose. Because what I feel like when these guys take these fights up 1 week, and nothing against Paul Felder. He did great. He's an elite athlete. He's an amazing guy, and I love the guy. But I feel like there's always going to be like, well, I lost, but I only had 1 week to train. And I get nervous when that happens because, especially when you're fighting an elite guy like RDA, like, when has this ever really panned out where 1 week it's worked? It worked for Bisbing when he knocked out Luke Rockhold. I think Luke got pretty cocky and put his hands down. And it worked for Nate Diaz when he beat Conor McGregor. But for the other guys, it seems like this 1 week is just, when you're fighting the guys that good, it doesn't seem to really pan out too well. Johnny Case, thoughts?
No, man. And I mean, yeah, like you said, Paul Felder's a fucking stud. You know what I mean? Like he could easily fight with the world level. You know what I mean? With the best in the world, you know, compete with those guys. But that's the difference between competing and beating those guys is the time that it takes to prepare. You know what I mean? And fucking RDA looked like the best, you know what I mean? Like he just gets better and better every fight. You know what I mean? And I think he's got a good chance of really going for that title now that Khabib is out of there. You know what I mean? He's right in the mix with anybody else, I think, after that performance he had on Saturday. But yeah, man, I think it just comes down to, like, when you're fighting the elitist of the elite, like, you need time to prepare, or you at least need to be preparing for a fight. Like if Felder would have had a fight like a week or two after that fight, then I think the results could have been different as well. But you know, I think he was only like doing triathlon shit, wasn't even grappling. So yeah.
Don, did you watch the fights?
No, I was busy. I was meeting the guy that killed Osama bin
Laden. I was about to say, were you at the restaurant meeting the guy that killed Osama bin Laden? All right.
That's it, buddy. That's it.
You ever take a fight on 1 week notice or no?
What's that?
You ever fight on short notice?
Yeah, of course. Of course. You know, I mean, you don't make excuses. You take the goddamn fight and you deal with it. You know, otherwise don't take the fight. I'm sick and tired of hearing that shit. Oh, I only had 2 weeks of training. I was ovulating. You know, as we came out. You know, don't take the fucking fight.
Yeah.
Greg Fry, do you take fights on short notice?
I took a fight this morning. I had 5 minutes notice. 5 minutes notice, I took a fight. I lost. But it came with an incredible pancake breakfast.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, there you go. Another fight that fucking Chaos Williams versus the other guy was like, to test his chin. I'm like, whoa. I mean, that dude like just woke up. Fuck. But at the same time, look, I don't know how great Chaos Williams is, because, you know, we haven't seen him go the distance in a while. And it seems like when he wins, he just knocks people out. But man, has that guy got power. Holy shit. Johnny Case, thoughts?
Yeah, that's a scary motherfucker, dude. He's got that one punch, that one hit, that one hitter quitter kind of power. You know what I mean? And it's not the kind of power like he hits you and then they're like, oh, stumble. It's like that motherfucker was stiff as a board. But boom, like. Yeah, I mean, like, that kind of power is just it's God-given, you know what I mean? Like, I wish you could train to improve it, but that guy is just fucking gifted. You know what I mean? There's no other way to put it.
Don,
that's straight right. I mean, he didn't even, like, load up. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even, like, he went for it. It was just, like, just a straight right and, dude, out. It was crazy.
No, I got to ask you, because when you learn boxing, they always tell you the straight punches hurt the most. But then I always see guys throw wide punches. Which hits harder?
Whatever's timed better. Really? I mean, really the only difference between straight punches and like hooks and overhands and uppercuts is the angle at which they're landing. You know what I mean? So it's like really your power should always be there if like you're using the appropriate tool. So if your straight right is lined up, bam, that's going to be your hardest punch. If he's got his hands up and you got to throw it over the top and throw the overhand right, then that's going to be your hardest punch. So, I mean, really like anything from your power side is going to be the more powerful, whether it's the power uppercut, power overhand, power straight right.
Don, lead hook. Fry, thoughts?
They all hurt. Like my buddy Stuart Wilson, you know, he was talking, his dad was a pro boxer, and we were listening to the commentator saying, oh, there's nothing there. Those don't feel, you know, he's not going to feel that. Bullshit. You feel them all, man. If, you know, and they take their tally. You may not feel them at that moment, but you'll feel them tomorrow.
Now, they always say the ones you don't see are the ones that hurt you the most. Do you agree with that?
I go back to my last statement, man, they all hurt, you know, shit, but yeah, you don't see them coming, you know, that's the one that really catches your heart. I mean, there's no chance to slip out of the way. And so they just level you.
Johnny, who hit you the hardest at all your fights?
The hardest I've ever been hit in a fuck, man, probably Tofik Musayev, my last fight. But man, so I like, not to make excuses, but fucking, I got knocked out in practice the week prior to that, just drilling with the fucking kid, and I ended up having like a CSF leak. You know what that is? It's like cerebral spinal fluid. Like I got hit so hard, it hit me straight in the temple. My bone structure didn't take any of the force. It was just straight temple, and I ended up fucking having brain fluid leaking out of my fucking head for a couple days. And then I fought a week later and got knocked the fuck out. So I think
how do you get knocked out by drilling?
Why the hell? Why did you do that?
That's a great question. So what happened? I was drilling with another Russian kid. I'm not saying it was fucking intentional or not, but I was drilling with another Russian and just so happened to be fighting a Russian. And he was normally a good training partner. We were drilling. I was drilling my level changes and he went to go throw a fucking knee and just bam, hit me right in the temple, knocked me the fuck out. So.
But he's throwing knees.
See, then your trainer said.
What was that, Don?
Your trainer said, told you you're not fighting. Your trainers had told you you're not fighting.
Yeah, but it was a tournament though. It was a Ryzen tournament, so it was one of those things where they couldn't reschedule the whole tournament.
Hey, people pull out all the fucking time, you know. I mean, that's life. And the thing is, you can't erase a loss. You can always make up for missing a fight, you know, sitting it out. But you can't erase a loss. It's there forever. There's no little asterisks next to your name.
It's true. That's so true. In hindsight, I think going back, I definitely would have pulled out. You know what I mean? Because it's like, fuck. Because then, you know what I mean? I got knocked out like three times this year already just from in fucking training. And it started with that I had the CSF brain leak. I had fucking brain fluid leaking out. And I've never been knocked out in my career. I've never been knocked out in my whole entire career. And I've been knocked out three times this year. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of, I think it goes back to what Don says, you know, there's no fucking substitute for a healthy brain and, you know, fighting's only a short time.
You need to have a talk with your trainer. You know that? I mean, that's the bottom line. Your trainer, shouldn't let you fucking fight if there's something like that. That's all there is to it. You know,
did your trainer know about the brain fluid thing?
Yeah, I told him, you know what I mean? I told him it was one of those things, like, it happened, and then I came home, and I was, like, taking a shower, and, like, I went to go bend over, and then my girlfriend was there, and, like, fucking pink fluid just started, like, squirting out of my nose.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, but I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel concussed anymore. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes when you get your shit rocked, you feel a little bit out of it. So I didn't feel bad, but then she was like, no, you need to go to the emergency room. And I was like, nah, let's just wait. I'll go to training tonight, and we'll see. And then right then, it just fucking, like, a floodgate of just, like, pink antifreeze is kind of what it looked like. Just pink antifreeze is fucking falling on my face. So then I go to the doctor and he's like, yeah, well, that's fucking brain fluid. And he's like, I would advise you not to get hit for, you know, any time in the near future. And I'm like, well, I fight next week. And he's like, well, don't get hit. Well, it was kind of one of those things.
That's a great theory. That's a great theory. You know, I mean, I think I'm going to work on that.
I mean, like, if you're a NASCAR driver, you're like, well, whatever you do, don't drive. But I have a race next week. It's like, well, try not to drive in it.
I mean, the hard part, Johnny, that was for you were one fight away from winning $1 million, right?
Yeah, winning that Ryzen Grand Prix title, which is, you know, fucking, like, it's a dream, you know what I mean? Going back to Pride days, you know what I mean? Like, winning the Pride Grand Prix was amazing. Such an amazing fucking, like, milestone in your career, you know.
That's why you did it. And, you know, you were winning that fight till you got caught the last fight. You were doing great. You know?
Thank you.
But hey man, you know, maybe this year off is a blessing in disguise, because, you know, you get the PFL, you got a year off, you get your brain could heal, your body could heal, and then you have another chance to win $1 million next year.
Exactly. And I'm the only guy to have a draw with the back-to-back lightweight champion in the PFL. So my chances are good. I'm fucking excited. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm right there in the mix. I know I can beat that fucking guy too. So I'm ready for the opportunity.
So also last week, Ashley Yoder won her fight. I like Ashley Yoder. I think she had, something happened with her brother, and her brother passed away. And she's a great, great person. Super hot. You meet her in person, you're like, whoa. And cool. Funny story about her was Tom Galicchio told me. So Toothless Tom, when he was looking for gyms, he's from New Jersey. He's like the M1 champion, and he wants to leave Jersey. So he calls every gym. The only gym that gets back to him is Team Quest. And he goes, hey, I want to train there. He calls like AKA, ATT. So he moves to Team Quest, but they don't know who he is. So he walks in there and they put him with Ashley Yoder as his training partner.
That's cool.
For like 2 weeks, he's training with a 115-pound girl. He's like the defending M1 champion, this guy. Like, he has like the belt. And then they finally realize, oh wait, this guy's actually fought before, is not some fucking jabroni off the street. So that's a pretty funny story.
But did Ashley kick his ass though? That's the question. Was she fucking him up?
I mean, that's just so funny. Like you know, I'm like, why'd you pick Quest? Like, no one else got back to me. He's such a fucking dude. I went to his wedding and they forgot the wedding ring when it was time to exchange vows. They had to get a wedding ring from somebody in the crowd.
Oh like, my god.
Just typical Toothless Tom Galicchio. And then, right, I go, Tom, did you put a tooth in the front? He goes, no, actually, I tried, but it was too expensive. So I ripped out a crown from the back, but it wouldn't fit. Like, so he actually ripped out a tooth from the back of his mouth. I'm like, yeah, usually it doesn't fit if it's a different tooth.
Oh, my God. What
a molar in the front. That's hilarious.
What's up, people? The wait is finally over. Football is back. Look, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. I start off by wagering on win, division, and championship futures today. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Should have just used like a chiclet or something.
So yeah, that's what I said. So Strickland won versus Allen. Now Strickland in that fight, he said, if I fight the way I did in the gym, I'll be a world champion. How common is that guys don't fight the way they do in the gym in fights?
That's real common. You see it all the time in the wrestling room in college. And then you see, you know, guys who go into the fight game from college with the same attitude. They're tougher than nails. They're the world champions in the locker room, the workout room, but they piss themselves when they got to go out there and fight in front of somebody. It's ridiculous.
But that never happened before, right? Don?
What?
Did that ever happen to you?
No, I do a lot better from the crowd. The workout room, I get my ass kicked, you know, almost every day because I'm trying new stuff. I'm trying to work on my weak spots, you know, and that's how you improve. You don't go in there and just work on, you know, what you're good at. You got to fix the fundamentals of where you're weak. And so you take a beating doing that.
What about you, Johnny?
Totally. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. So, I mean, just like there's that dichotomy of like, you know, guys who are fucking killers, world champions in the gym, and then they go out there and they shit their pants in a fight night. But then there's guys in the gym who are just kind of average, but they work hard. You know what I mean? And then they show up and they're fucking gamers and they're never off on their fights. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and I tend to be more of the latter. You know, I've never really like, except for like my very first pro fight, I fucking was kind of, I knew what I was getting myself into and I wasn't ready for that fight. So I kind of, but after that fight, I told myself, never again am I going to fucking step in this ring unless I'm ready to fucking go. And you know what I mean? So you see it from both ways. You see studs who go out there and they can't perform. And then you see guys who are just kind of average and they go out there and they fucking shine bright. So
who's the guy at the gym that you were like, man, they can only do what they did in the gym in the fight?
I'm sure you saw his fight, Max Roshkoff.
Yeah.
Max, he quit on the show. That guy is the most fucking scariest grappler I have ever gone. Like, that guy fucking mauls everybody. Everybody in the gym, that guy just destroys. Like, it's nothing. You know what I mean? So then the moment he went out there in that fight and that kid, he wasn't able to just break that kid and completely dominate that kid, he fucking broke. You know what I mean? And I love Max. Max is a good dude, but it comes down to fucking, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you got to be the nail. You can't just be the hammer all the time. And if you do, the moment you become, you know, a nail in the fight, you're done. So,
yeah,
it is. And you want to know who the best guy who was like average in the training room was, who goes out and shines, is Kelvin Gastelum. That fucking dude, like in the training.
So wait a minute. Like, so I mean, in his fights, was him shining?
Come on, dude. He's
yeah. I'm just joking.
Yeah, I mean, like what you would see like in the training room, like he doesn't seem like anything special. But then you see him fight, and you're like, fuck, dude, I wouldn't want to fight that dude.
Don Fry, who's the guy that you were in the gym? You were like, if only he could do in the gym what he did in the cage.
A big old guy named Sam Sotelo. Actually, all my guys, Rainy Martinez, Rich Moreno, all those guys, they were tougher than nails in the wrestling room. And but they just didn't have the opportunity to put it together out in the ring. But they became such great workout partners because they left their egos at the door and they all concentrated just on me, you know. So there was never – we would get guys come in there, take cheap shots, and we'd run them out. You know, they'd be there for one or two times, and then they're gone because they knew if they're going to pull that shit, that they weren't going to fucking be walking anymore.
Was there a guy in the gym that was like, but then out in the octagon, he was a monster, or back in the pride ring?
Shit. Probably, BJ Penn, yeah.
All right, another fight that happened.
Wait a minute. Strickland, wasn't Strickland the guy that 2 weeks ago, he was yelling at his opponent to just go down?
Yeah.
That was fucking, he came back out. I was kind of waiting for him to do that shit again. Like, just go down. That was so fucking weird.
I like the guy. I'll tell you, there's going to be a problem. Is that little Japanese 115 pounder that beat from Japan.
Marcos, that beat Marcos.
Because Marcos is a good wrestler, a really good wrestler. And she was just threw on her back. She was like, almost an Olympian. She got those like Japanese muscles. You know those like Asian muscles where they don't look like they're not ripped. They're just solid. Like you ever see, like those, some of those Asian guys, they just have like they almost look like they're from the Midwest and they just throw hay around, fucking barrel. They have like those type of like the Dagestani muscles where they're just like thick. And this girl is gonna be a problem. I'm curious to see how like she does, because her striking, I don't know how good her striking is, because she just goes for the wrestling, but she looked tough. She looked really tough. Good for her. Now Bellator, Don, are you still with us? What happened to Greg Fry? Are you still with us?
All right. Yeah.
All right. Good. Now this week, this Thursday night, we have Don left. We have Darian Caldwell versus Antonio McKee. I am so excited for this fight. I said Darian Caldwell was a guy that I watched wrestle in college when he beat Brett Metcalf in the finals. Brett Metcalf, Iowa guy, like you, Johnny Case. And Metcalf was the bully. And Caldwell threw a head and arm to start the fight in the NCAA finals, which is like a move that you teach middle school kids not to do. It's like when I see girls do it, I'm like, no, stop it. It's like wrestling 101. It almost never works. I always tell kids, like, do this when you're down 12-0 and it's a Hail Mary move, right? He opened the wrestling match with it and hit it. Got a 5-point thing. And then towards the end of the match, he did like 3 backflips. And then Metcalf ran him off the mat. It was fucking bananas. And Metcalf teched him 3 weeks before that. Like, so Caldwell's a guy that I always thought was going to be like the shit. And he was. He just, some reason, can't beat Haraguchi in Japan. Haraguchi's got his number. One guy's always got your number. Antonio McKinney is a guy whose father was a guy that everybody avoided. He was kind of a boring fighter, but he was a good fighter, but he just didn't play by the rules of the UFC. He got into other organizations. He was kind of boring. He was big in Canada, but he was a solid fighter. Sort of peaked before his time, didn't really catch the wave of MMA, but his son is a stud. And this is going to be a good fight. I don't know who's going to win, because McKee's like grown up as an MMA guy. And Caldwell is a wrestler who converted to a mixed martial artist. Who do we like in this fight, Johnny Case?
I'm going to have to go with my buddy and my former teammate, Darian Caldwell, man. I actually trained with Darian for about 2 years in Arizona. And that kid is just so super talented, you know, like his grappling skills, like, and he's just learned so quickly. You know what I mean? He's able to make adjustments. You know what I mean? Obviously in the Horiguchi fight, like Horiguchi's a fucking stud. And like you said, like styles make fights. And I just don't think that style is suitable for him. But, you know, AJ McKee's a fucking stud too. You know, I'm super impressed with him, and he's got knockout power. And, you know, I know he's got like a couple, and his wrestling's good too. So It's really just going to come down to whoever can control the style, whoever can control the takedown, whoever can get the fuck up off the ground. But I think I give the edge to McKee a little bit with the striking, but I think the grappling I give to Darion a little bit.
Well, Caldwell is like, I'm 5'10 and a half. He's about 5'11 and a half, maybe even 6 foot, and fights at 145 and is not that skinny. Like, I don't know. He must cut 40, 45 pounds. I mean, right? Am I off on this?
No, he's a big featherweight for sure. He's really big featherweight. I'm not sure exactly how much weight he cuts, but you know what I mean? That just comes down from his wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, he knows how to cut weight. Like, he can, nobody cuts weight better than wrestlers. You know what I mean? And nobody cuts more weight more efficiently and refuels better. So, yeah, I mean, he's got to be one of the bigger ones, guys for his weight class for sure.
I mean, if he walks into the ring or like Octagon or Decagon or Bellator at 185, and he weighs, you think he can gain 40 pounds overnight? I mean, he might, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no IV bands with Bellator, you know what I mean? So you get a couple IV bags in you and you start eating shit, that fucking stacks on really quick, you know what I mean? That's great. That's what I'm a lightweight. I weigh in at 155 and I weigh in the night of the fight like 180, 185 between there. So the fact that he's a fucking featherweight, like, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, people don't realize that, like, you can and will. I mean, Vince Bichelle was 197. And I texted him and I'm like, Vince, the fuck are you doing? Like you got to lose 42 pounds. And he's like, oh, I'm going to get to 205 just to really piss you off. I'm like, bro, you're a pro fighter. Like, I mean, Greg, don't you think that that's a lot of weight, 45 pounds?
Dude, I've been trying to lose 45 pounds for 30 years. And these guys do it in 12 hours. Like, yeah, that's cat. That, they're doing something I can't do. I mean, fuck. I'd love to be able to fucking do that. That's Superman shit right there. I don't know.
But they're losing about 18, 17 pounds in about 12 hours. And then they're getting back up. Up about 40 pounds. So, but the thing is, and I think it's a whole
gaining 40 pounds in a night, that I can do.
Yes, that's a lot easier.
That is something I have mastered throughout my life. Is I can do it in a weekend. 45 pounds, you got it.
Now, another card on this fighting this card, which I'm nervous about because I like this guy a lot, Ben Henderson. I don't know if you'll ever meet a nicer killer than Ben Henderson. This is the kind of guy that, like I honestly believe if there was a fire, house is on fire, and there was a kitten in the top and like 8 floors up, he would go and save the kitten. And then when you said thank you, he would tell you some religious verse or something. He's just like just a good human being is Ben Henderson.
And, can I tell you something though? His picture on the Bellator website, it looks like he's in the Thunder from Down Under. Like it looks like your featured male dancer this week, ladies. Benson Henderson, smooth.
When I went to go see Johnny Case and these guys spar over at the gym in Arizona, he was literally fighting like some of the best guys in the world. He's grappling and taking them down, holding them down. His wife's holding his baby. And he's telling his wife what groceries to get, like during sparring. Like he's like he's got a guillotine on one guy, and he's like, "Oh, make sure you get milk for the baby." And I'm just like, "What fucking world am I in?" But he's fighting this guy Jason Jackson, who no one really knows Jason Jackson unless you're an MMA hardcore fan like me. Just beat Jordan Mayne 30-27. I thought he beat Ed Ruth. Got robbed. He has a win over Diego Lima in one round. This is a very dangerous fight for Ben Henderson because there's not a big upside for it. It's all down if he loses. It's tough, man. It's a tough one. Johnny Case, talk to me.
Yeah, man. Benson's like my brother. He's such a good fucking dude. He'd give you the shirt off his back. You know what I mean? And he's a fucking stud. He's a freak athlete, and his knowledge of the game is just so vast. But that being said, you know, Jackson's a fucking killer. Like, I've seen some of his fights, man. He can bang. And on top of that, he's young and he's hungry and he's got something to prove. You know what I mean? Whereas Benson's kind of been there, done that. He's just kind of fighting to, because he enjoys fighting and, you know, make some paychecks or whatever. But I mean, this is not the kind of fight that you want to take. You know what I mean? If you're Benson Henderson with a young, hungry, fucking long, lengthy striker like that, like, you know, it's all risk, very little reward.
Yeah, he's coming off a first round knockout to Michael Chandler. It's just like, I don't know, man.
I wish him the best of luck, and I'll never fucking ever count Benson Henderson out or ever say that he doesn't have a chance to win the fight. But I wish him luck, and I wish he goes out there and fucking takes care of business.
Joey Davis, a guy that Bellator does not promote, is a 4-time national champion. Never lost in college, Division II. Still not D1, but still fucking almost impossible. He's fighting a guy named Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee from Minnesota, tough guy, tough redhead.
Yeah, I know that kid.
But I think Joey's gonna just dominate him. You?
Yeah, I agree. That Bobby Lee kid, he's kind of like a blue collar, kind of a journeyman style fighter. Like he's a tough guy. He could win some fights, but I just don't think he's ready for that kind of competition just yet. And Joey's not really getting the backing from Bellator, but I think he beats bigger name guys. I think that Bellator is going to get behind him for sure.
And then Keith Lee, Kevin Lee's brother, who's on a 3-fight winning streak, taking on Rufian Stotts, another stud, 14-1, great wrestler. This is going to be a good fight. Of course, they buried it on the undercard. You have to find it. But I'm telling you, if you actually do find it on YouTube, and then Matt Bassetti is taking on Jeremy Kennedy, ex-UFC guy, ex-PFL guy, tough guy. Matt Bassetti's a guy who always wins on that minor league level. Like, he's like the CFFC champion or this champion. And then he just gets to the top and he just can't seem to get over that hump. But this is a good fight. Jeremy's from Canada. Any thoughts on either of those fights?
Yeah, Keith Lee and Jeremy Kennedy are my former teammates now at Extreme Couture here in Las Vegas. They've been putting in the work day in, day out. You know, they're studs. They're fucking great dudes. They're great training partners. And I'm expecting great things out of both of them. I think Keith Lee's got the tougher challenge with Rafian Stott. You know, Rafian's a fucking stud. He's capable of putting anybody away, you know what I mean? And he's a good, well-rounded fighter. I don't know much about the guy that Jeremy's fighting, but I know enough about Jeremy to know that he's going to go out there and he's going to take care of business.
Good. Nice guy, too. This Canadian fighter is just nice. Just nice.
They are, dude. They are fucking nice.
One Canadian who talks shit, like, ever, in the history of Canadian fighters.
And they're all fucking tough, too.
It's a different breed. In news today, Uriah Hall, Chris Weidman, the rematch. Greg, are you excited for this?
Me?
Yeah.
Sure. No.
Come on, February 13th. Now, why?
They couldn't find him a better match than fucking Weidman. Come on.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a good fight. Weidman needs a win, another win. Hall did not look great against Anderson Silva. He beat him, but he didn't throw a punch to the third round. I don't know. I think that Weidman takes this.
This is the kind of match they give you when you lose to Spencer Silva. But he won. So, I mean, you don't give Weidman. That makes no sense to me. It's like, here, you know what? You fought that old guy. Now we give you this broken guy. Like,
he's not broken. He's coming off a win.
One win. The guy's fucking, his career looks like a heart monitor. It's fucking up and down. Fuck that.
Johnny Case.
They're trying to. I mean, it seems like they're trying to build Uriah Hall up, and it seems like Weidman is not the way to do that. That's just my opinion.
Johnny Case.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement for sure. I think they're expecting Uriah goes out there and he just knocks out Weidman or pretty much controls the fight. But I don't really see that happening, honestly. Like you can't ever count Weidman out, and he after Weidman's a long layoff. Like, I'm excited to see. See him come back and kind of get a run going again. You know what I mean? Or even if he doesn't get a run, then we'll see, that the game has kind of passed him and where he really is just kind of a gatekeeper. But this is a fight.
See, but they just gave him a guy who the game was already past him.
We know.
You know what I mean? Like, true. Why would they do? True. Why do we see this? It's like seeing the same movie twice. Like, why are we doing this? I don't know. I'm not impressed.
We know.
Well, I think whoever wins is just going to be a depressing fight, because whenever Chris Weidman loses, he gets knocked out or whatever, I get sad because I'm a big Chris Weidman fan. Whenever Uriah Hall loses or wins, it's always depressing because he has like some depressing speech that he gives or he's like crying. So this is just going to be a sad fight all around. But I don't know. I'm not rooting for either one because I like both guys.
It's going to air on Lifetime. people are mad at Gina Carano. Have you been following the story?
No. What's up?
So Gina Carano, you know, who's had a great, actually out of all the fighters in the history of MMA, has had the best acting career, because a lot of people have been like in, you know, had movies or whatever. She's consistently working, you know, whether it's the Star Wars trilogy or she was in, what else was she in? She's been in a lot of stuff. Her acting.
Jane Silent Bob movie.
She was in that. What else was Gina in? But she was in, wasn't she in the, what's it called again? With Ryan Reynolds.
Deadpool.
He's Deadpool, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So Gina Carano.
She's in The Mandalorian, right?
Yeah, Mandalorian, Deadpool. She's a lot of Steven Soderbergh movies. Like, they seem to really like Gina Carano. And good for her, because I like it when fighters can transition. It's good for everybody when that happens. And so often we see guys when they're hot, they get a movie or two, and then all of a sudden it's just, you know, even like Randy Couture at the beginning was doing The Expendables, this and that. Or, I mean, Bisbing's doing really well right now. They're giving Bisbing a lot of movies. He's getting a big push. I think he has that whole like Guy Ritchie thing going for him. He was in the XXX movie or something. And what do you got? Anyway, so Gina is a big Trump supporter. Doesn't really outwardly say it, but kind of says that, like, went off on the whole voting thing. So what she was saying was like, we need better voting, we need better this, but that. It wasn't, nothing really was like, I thought was that controversial, but she's now joined Parler and she thinks she's anti-masks, kind of thinks we should open up the country. She's giving her opinion, right? Now the trend was fire Gina Carano. All these people were going after her. They were saying she's transphobic. She's this and that. I don't know what she said that was transphobic. I cannot comment on that. I don't know what was said. They said she was this, she's anti-mask. My personal opinion is that, you know, maybe I don't agree with her stuff, but she's entitled to her opinion, just like everybody else. And
yes, absolutely.
And going on Parler is not illegal. Who gives a fuck if she's on Parler? Like, supposed to go on Parler, go on, and even if she's anti-mask, and that's her position, also not illegal. Like, opinion. So people can't get her fired is like, I think, fucked up, because we should be allowed to have different views on things. Maybe some are right, maybe some are wrong. It seems like maybe science is not on her side. But at the same point, let her voice her opinion without having the mob go after her and get her fired. And she's doubled, tripled, quadrupled down. So she's not backing down. And I give her a lot of credit because she's a Hollywood star. And I'm sure a lot of Hollywood is not agree with what she's trying to say, but she doesn't give a fuck. She's like, fuck it. You want to hire me? Fucking hire me. If not, go ahead. So in that regard, I'm like, props Gina Carano. But thoughts?
I feel the exact same way. I, you know what? I hate this cancel culture that if I disagree with your opinion, then I don't want you to have a job. Fuck you. Separate the two. Okay. You can disagree with somebody, but that shouldn't affect their ability to work. And that's the thing, we give everybody a platform. We want everybody to speak their mind. And then they do. And then they're like, oh, well, you know what? You shouldn't be in Star Wars anymore. No, that's not how this should work at all. You're welcome to disagree with her or whatever, but that doesn't affect her work. That doesn't affect, and it shouldn't affect her ability to work. This cancel culture shit, if we cancel anything, we should cancel culture.
Perfectly said.
Johnny Case, thoughts?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the one thing, like, you know, so she's more leaning toward the right or whatever. Then, you know, the left is kind of who's coming after her, like, you know, and like, it's crazy to think, like, you know, like the left can have their opinions and the right doesn't really, they're like, whatever, you're wrong, whatever. I don't agree with that shit.
No, I think cancel culture goes both ways. Let's be clear.
I haven't seen it much from the right.
It definitely goes both ways. So, but it does remain the same, and that it shouldn't. Though.
I just don't know any examples from the right going to the left. Just it's always
the example that I think that you could think is the Kathy Griffin thing when she held up the head of Donald Trump and said,
like, "Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I do recall. Okay, so yeah, yeah. So yeah, so either way, both ways, it's fucking it's so dumb, dude. It's like people should have the fucking right to have their own opinion, and if you don't agree with it, too fuck."
Yeah. Go kick and listen, off, you know what I mean? and you could appreciate the work or not appreciate it, and that should also have nothing to do with their bullet. No one told you had to read her shit. Nobody, and also, you know, again, she's an athlete, she's an actress. You know, I mean, you don't. Who can? Okay, she speaks her mind. You speak your mind. That doesn't have anything to do with her ability to perform her job, and she should be allowed to do. I mean, so long as she's not, you know, hurting anybody and doing anything criminal, then why should she not be allowed to continue? It's silliness. Cancel culture. Everybody, go fuck yourself.
Damn right.
And for every Gina Carano part that she got, there's like a million actresses who tried to get that job. So the fact that she got it and she keeps stays working, she's really defying the odds. So let's not cancel it. Like, it's not that fucking easy. They're just giving out jobs to be in Star Wars. I mean, she had to jump through a fucking billion hoops to get these jobs. So,
it's one thing when you're doing something criminal. You know, when there's, you know, some kind of sexual assault or something like that, well, that's a little harder to look the other way. But when you're talking about someone just expressing their opinions, that is fundamentally what this country is supposed to be about. You know, freedom of speech and not feeling like you're going to lose everything just for expressing yourself.
Exactly. So back to fighting. Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar got signed today. Good fight. I think Holloway's got it. I think he's just a little bit of a level up against Calvin Kattar. I just think he's a little bit more elite. Johnny Case, talk to me.
I would agree. Kelvin is a fucking stud, and I love watching him fight. You know, that knockout over Jeremy Stephens was sick. His last fight against Dan Ige, was that his last fight? That was a fucking solid fight. I like Kelvin. I think he's got a bright future, but I think I would have to agree with you. Like, I think Max has just been there, done that. He's got the experience, and he's a notch above Kelvin at the moment.
Greg, thoughts?
Max is the only one that I'm really familiar with, and he's been doing great lately, so I'm definitely not going to bet against him.
Yeah, absolutely. He texted me randomly out of the blue for like, I haven't heard from him in 5 years. He goes, "Hey man, just saying hello, hope you're doing well." And I texted him back and he didn't get back to me.
He sent that text to everybody in his contacts.
I was going to say, yeah, he definitely sent that to a different Adam. And then you hit him back and he's like, "The fuck is that guy hitting me up for? Yeah, I hope you're good too." Then he probably saw the other Adam like a week later and was like, "Hey, you never replied to my text. What's up?" He's like, "I never got a text from you."
All right, so UFC this weekend, real quick. Division Figueroa, 19-1 against Alex Perez. That's the main event, which is crazy that they're having a flyweight main event on a pay-per-view card. I think a lot of people are going to be like, "Fuck that," but who cares?
That's why they have two championship fights, to make up for the flyweight being the headliner.
That's exactly right.
But I think Division's going to win this fight. I think he's just been on fucking steamrolling everybody. Alex Perez is good, but I don't think he's as good as Division.
Well, and I think this guy, Figueiredo, however you're supposed to say it, Figueiredo, right? I think the reason he's kind of captured, you know, a little bit of the imagination. You know, he's kind of a bad boy. He's kind of got this edge to him. And I think that's what's kind of put him in this position. I think they're trying to maybe now build that brand and see if people respond to this, you know, because I think they have. I think based on his last fight, I mean, he generated some buzz.
Yeah, he beat Benavidez twice.
Brutally, too.
And it was a hell of a fight. Exactly. I think he really created a lot of buzz with that last one.
Johnny.
Yeah, dude. I just don't think Perez has what it takes to take him out. You know, Perez is a top 10 guy, you know, maybe top five, but I don't think he's top two. So, you know, the champ looked fucking amazing against those last two fights with Joe Benavidez. So, I'd have a hard time seeing anybody at that flyweight. You know, I was really looking forward to seeing Cody Garbrandt come back down or come down to 25 and take that fight. I think that would have been a fucking barn burner, but I just don't think Perez has what it takes, man.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I think that's what I mean by like trying to build his brand. They're definitely giving him somebody that he's going to be able to put on a good show with, you know?
Now, Shevchenko versus Jennifer Maia.
Damn.
I think this is kind of a mismatch too. I like Jennifer Maya, but I think that she surprised bad JoJo. She's got 6 losses. Some of the losses are to girls. They're just not. Shevchenko's on a different level right now. And she's smoking hot. I don't even understand this. I think this is not even a real person. I know Ben Askren is like a spy or something. I'm kind of with Askren on this. There's something really weird about this girl. But I think she wins this fight. Ween Dog.
Yeah, I think she just steamrolls Jennifer Maya. I think this is one of those cards where most of the MMA fans know exactly what's going to happen in the two main events. I don't know if that takes away from the excitement of the card because, you know, with Valentina, she's so dominant and so fun to watch. And Davison Figueiredo, this dude is scary, dude. So, you know, it's probably both these fights are probably going to end in finishes. So I think that is something to look forward to this card for. But I think Valentina is just going to smash this girl, dude.
Right. Let me ask you though. Let's ask this question though, because I've paid for a number of the pay-per-views this year. You know, primarily because you can't really go out and watch these. But who in this group right now? Who's actually going to pay for this weekend?
Me,
Adam. Because I'm not going to pay to see this.
No, but it's a pretty deep card. It's actually a deep card. If you look at like. All right.
The third fight is the one that I think is the most entertaining.
Mike Perry's must-watch television.
Must-watch TV right there. If I pay for this fight, which I probably actually finally will, because I always like say I'm not going to, and then I get bored, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm paying for it. I'm going to watch this. Paying the money, it's for the Mike Perry fight.
No, he's going to be – well, he probably might be in jail soon or something. Like, you don't know how long we're going to have Mike Perry – free.
You gotta enjoy while you got him.
So like this is, I mean, Mike Perry is just, I mean, him and War Machine and Mayhem may have that fight club.
I was gonna say that he should change his name to Mayhem Mike Perry.
I just think that like the Convicta Fighting Championship might get a little bit more
Mike Perry. Nice.
So but Johnny Case, Tim Means, Mike Perry, who wins this fight?
You know, I'm such a fan of Mike Perry just because he's a fucking wild man and he's cool as shit too. Like I've, you know, every time I've met him, he's been a good dude fucking, but I like Tim Means, man. Tim Means is like, I've been a fan of Tim Means for a long time. I've shared the locker room with him. I really like what he's all about. And I think stylistically, he's a long fucking dude. He's a long, especially at welterweight. I think he can keep the distance and keep Mike off him. I think Means wins the fight.
He's also pretty smart. I don't think he knows that Mike Perry's only shot us to go punch for punch with him. So I don't see him going punch for punch. But Ween Dog, who wins this fight?
Well, I think Mike Perry is actually a really good grappler too. I think we saw that when he fought Mickey Gall. So Mike Perry, I don't think he's one dimensional because I think he might be able to take Tim Means down, but I really do think Mike Perry is going to win this fight. Maybe first round knockout. I don't know, but recently I haven't been too good picking fights. So who knows? Every time I bet against Tim Means always ends up winning. So I don't know. I don't know who wins this fight, but I'm
really surprised Mike Perry. That Mike Perry came out as a hardcore Trump supporter or no.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, a lot of fighters are being more politically vocal. So I encourage everybody to speak their mind. I don't think we should suppress anybody, but I'm not surprised that he came out as a Trump supporter. Isn't he from Florida? And that's a pretty red place.
He did get the black vote also. So
that's true.
Now also on this card.
Wait, do I get to weigh in on this one? Yes. I want to weigh in on this one. Come on. What are you skipping? What am I, chopped liver here? Listen, Tim Means should obviously win this fight. But I still think Mike Perry finds a way. I mean, yeah, Tim Means shouldn't go blow to blow with him, but I think Mike Perry cuts off the ring and forces him to fight. I think even though Tim Means should win, if it goes to a decision, Tim Means. But I don't think it gets to a decision, and I think Mike Perry finds a way to get it done.
If Mike Perry wins, does his 18-year-old girlfriend get trainer of the year? Because she's going to be undefeated with him.
And she's pregnant right now.
Really? She's pregnant?
You didn't know that? Yeah, she's going to be pregnant in his corner.
Oh my God.
With Mike's baby?
Yes. We think. That's the.
I'm just joking, Mike. Don't attack me. I'm just kidding. I make jokes. I'm a comedian. That's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, the baby's going to come out with a big face tattoo and cursing. also on this card, Cynthia Cavillo, who I'm a big fan of. She's a great girl. A girl that her boyfriend dumped her when she was like 21. She went to take her kickboxing class to get in shape. Now she's ranked third in the world. It's just going to say that sometimes guys are doing you a favor when they're breaking up with you. She's fighting Caitlin Chookagan, who's coming off a tough loss to Valentina. Caitlin's a good karate girl, always grunts really loud when she throws, which I think sways the judges a lot of times because they hear her. I think Cynthia wins this fight. I think Cynthia wins this fight because of her wrestling and her just overall toughness and angry Mexican behavior. Johnny Case, who do we like in this fight?
I like Cynthia. You know, I like them both. I do. I like Chookagan, the way she fights with that, like, that karate K1 kickboxing kind of style. But, man, there's something to be said for that fucking Mexican style of just forward pressure and fucking throw hands until you drop kind of fighting style that Cynthia possesses. You know, and she's game as fuck, too. You know, I've never seen Cynthia show up to a fight and not be ready to fucking bang. So I think it comes down to grit, and I think Cynthia takes this fight. I think she either finishes her or dominates her in a decision.
Greg?
You know, we just saw Chookagan fight, what, like a month ago?
Yeah.
And she lost that fight, right?
Oh, yeah, she got hit in the rib by Jessica Andrade. Remember her rib?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Listen, I like her in a comeback. I like her coming back fast. I like her coming back with a lot of energy and looking to take this girl's head off. I like Caitlin in this one in a comeback.
Queen Dog?
This is going to be a tough one, dude. I think it goes to a decision. Both of these girls are really good at jiu-jitsu. Let's not forget, Caitlin Chookagan trains with John Danaher, and that gym has Gary Tonin, Gordon Ryan. So she's no joke on the ground, and Cynthia Cavillo is like basically known for her jiu-jitsu. So I think it may be a stalemate in the jiu-jitsu realm in this fight, but I think Cynthia will have the more dominant position, so I think the judges will end up giving it to Cynthia.
Cynthia went to Thailand, got like staph infection. Had to spend like a week in a Thai like hospital with no insurance. I mean, she's just like, oh, she's had a tough little road. Paul Craig versus Shogun rematch. Paul Craig like wins every fight by triangle, and he's losing. They fought like 3 times ago. I'm not really sure why they're fighting again. But Shogun won the first one barely. I like Paul Craig. They call him the Jew Bear. I don't think he's Jewish, though. I'm not really sure why you're allowed to have, or the Bear Jew. I don't know
Bear
why.
Bear Jew.
I don't know why you're allowed to just be the Bear Jew, but if you're not Jewish, fuck it, we'll claim him. So, Greg, you know, the Bear Jew or Shogun?
I'm gonna go with Bear Jew, just because he's. I mean, Shogun again. These old guys. And then they come out. I mean, I know they still have skills. I know they still have grit. They look old. They look old. They don't look like their former selves. There's no way I'm putting it on Mauricio. I'm definitely going Paul Craig.
Johnny Case.
Paul Craig, man. Exactly what Greg said, dude. Like, it's hard to see these guys, like, because you see, like, what they were, right, when they were at their pinnacle. And then you see right. them now, and they're like a shadow of themselves. And it's like, man, you don't really want to see that. Like, and even yeah. so, it's like, even if the guys they beat, it's like, man, then that guy got beat by like a has-been out the window kind of a Shogun. What does that say about him competing at the modern day fucking elite level? You know what I mean? So I think Paul Craig gets the win. And
you don't think that they look differently because of the testing and pride? And
well, I mean, I think, yeah, there's definitely a difference between Shogun in the Pride era and Shogun in his UFC era. But even Shogun in his UFC era showed a lot of fucking like championship talent and skill set. But I just don't see that happening anymore.
Ween Dog.
Well, apparently their last fight was actually a draw. It ended in a draw. Damn, dude. I don't know who's going to win this fight. I'm going to pick Shogun via KO in the first round, but I don't know. Honestly,
that is a super specific prediction to be followed by, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a knockout by the knee, first round, 3 minutes, 32 seconds in, but I don't know.
Also on this card, Joaquin Buckley, who had that crazy kick win where the guy caught his leg.
Oh, yeah, and he jumped into his face. Yeah, that was great.
Well, he's fighting a guy called the Beverly Hills Ninja. Who's a white guy who's 11-0, who looks like a banker. He seems to win all his fights, but I saw a couple of his fights, I think in the LFA, and I wasn't that impressed. Like, he got rocked and then came back with some weird karate chop or something and won. but I don't know if he's ready for this level of competition. I'm going to go with Joaquin Buckley, but I like the fact that there's a Beverly Hills Ninja in MMA. I think it's good for the sport, but I don't know how good this guy is. Johnny Case.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about the Beverly Hills Ninja kid. And I know very, very little about Joaquin Buckley, but given his UFC debut, that first performance he had against, was it Impa?
Yeah.
I forget and Impa's a good fucking fighter too. So to see him get starched like that by such a crazy fucking karate kick like that. Like,
that was so awesome.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was like
that was some Jackie Chan shit, man. That was fucking. I was like, now that's some martial arts. That's a fucking yeah.
Well, the guy who hates him though is James Krause. Banned him from the gym. I guess that he talks a lot of shit. Said he's a real loudmouth. He's a punk. He really wants to fight this guy. He says nothing good about Joaquin Buckley.
Well, so, knowing that, I'm going to go with Beverly Hills Ninja then, because I know James Krause, and he's a fucking great dude, fellow Midwestern guy, and if he don't like him, then fuck him.
Also, Joaquin Buckley, like his first either. Fight, he actually lost to Kevin Holland via KO in the first round, or the third round. Yeah. So, and then he went on to win against Impa, but I'm going to pick Jordan Wright to win this fight via KO.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Dude, what about the Battle of the Brandons? That's going to be a great fight.
That is going to be a good fight. That Brandon Royale looked great in his last fight. Holy shit.
Yeah.
But before we leave, we got to talk about our boy, Alan Jouban, on this card as well. He is fighting Jared Gooden, who's actually won 3 in a row. He's a really funny guy. He came on the show a couple times too. Really love telling me black jokes. He's a black guy, but he's had the most offensive black jokes I've ever
strong
heard.
Strong clarification.
I had to laugh, even though it was kind of uncomfortable. But Alan Jouban, we need a win here, buddy. We gotta pull this out. This is gonna be a good fight. But man, Alan's been on the sideline. I know he had COVID. I know he had some kind of injuries, but I think he's got this. I do. So I think he's this other guy is his first time in the UFC. Bright Light says he's a fan of Alan Jouban. It's always a danger when a guy's a fan of yours. Who do we like in this fight, Johnny Case?
I like Alan Jouban. I really like the way he fights. We haven't seen him fight in a while. You know what I mean? And I was a fan. We kind of got signed around the same time. We both fought on the same.
Yeah.
And I've been following his career ever since. And I'm really eager to see him.
Greg,
listen, I would love to see Alan win. He's a friend of the show. He's a hell of a nice guy. Love the guy, but I honestly don't know what he's doing getting back in the ring. I feel in the octagon. I feel like his time has passed. He had a good run. I think we saw what he could do. And this Jaron Gooden is now he's coming in. I think this is his debut. It says. So, I mean, he's hungry, looking to make a stamp on things. I'm worried about Alan this fight. I think he loses.
Wean Dog.
Man, it's so hard to pick against Alan Jouban because he's always been super nice to me whenever he was on the show in person. So, and he's also a very exciting fighter. His fights are not boring, dude. He is a wild man in there. But also, he gets rocked in like every single fight that he has because he makes it a war. So I don't know, man. I'm going to pick Alan Jouban just because I know him personally and he's always been sweet to me. But fuck, I don't know.
Yeah. No, he gets fight during like the walkout. Well, listen, that is our show today. I'm shooting my comedy special tomorrow in Las Vegas. Super excited.
Have a great time. Have fun, man. You got this.
Johnny Case, thanks for coming. Greg, thanks for coming. Wean Dog, thanks for coming.
Yep.
See you guys soon. Take care, guys.